Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Hebrews chapter 8, let's go through verses 1 through 7. Now the point and what we're saying is this, talking about this, looking back over the whole priesthood, the whole sacrificial system. He says, the point of what we're saying is this, we, believers in Christ, have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. That's pretty fascinating. So if he says that there's a true tent, that means that there is a not true tent. Or a, you'd say a false tent, but it's actually a, what we're going to see a little bit later. It was just a shadow. It was a not the true one. Okay? He says, a minister in the holy places, the true tent that the Lord has set up, not man. Verse 3. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. That's a job that we talked about with the high priest or the priesthood. Thus it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now if we remember the Levitical priesthood, they offered the blood of bulls or goats or the ashes of a heifer. They offered such things. Verse 4 says, now if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve, and here's what we find out, the difference of the true tent and this not true tent. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, see that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. So what we know is that God took Moses and he showed him a pattern. He showed him an image and said, I want you to build after what you have seen. And so he built according to what he'd seen. Now, it was just a pattern. It was just a shadow. When my kids were younger, we would walk along the sidewalk. We liked it sometimes when the sun was setting low and it would cast the shadow and I would see their little shadows and I'd look and I'd say, hey, look at your head here. And I'd step, they'd say, oh, you're stepping on my head. Stop, stop. Anybody ever do that? Play the shadow head stepping game? Now, I wasn't really stepping on their head. I'd go to jail if that were the case. But it was one of those things. So it was a form. It kind of looked like them, although it was elongated and it was kind of I like this. It was distorted. It very seldom actually had a true aspect ratio. There was always an angle. And so some things were distorted. They may look really tall, but you'd see this kind of outline. And that's what the Levitical priesthood, that's what the sacrificial system was. A type and a shadow. And so many people think it's the end all and we miss it. And so the writer of Hebrews, who is writing to Jewish Christians who know the law forwards and backwards and have lived their entire lives according to finding their righteousness, their right standing with God through the law, through the sacrificial system, are now being challenged to say all of this is just a type and just a shadow. Pretty powerful stuff. What can we take from this? The priesthood and the sacrificial system were made after a pattern. In other words, it represented something greater. In and of itself, the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood and the sacrificial system was not greater than what it represented. So there is a true temple, but the true temple is in fact a heavenly one. Let's go on to verse 6 and 7. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better. since it is enacted on better promises. Verse 7 is a huge verse. For if that the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. That was a very, very important thing for us to understand. So the law had faults. The law could not make the worshipers perfect. It could cleanse them, but it couldn't clean their conscience. There was still a transformation that needed to happen inside. It dealt with the outside and the aftermath. God never intended us to have a second hand, a third person relationship with God. God never intended us to sit there and say, okay, here's God, and here's what the entire Levitical priesthood and the sacrificial system was set up on this premise. Here's man, and there's God. And to get to God, we have to have a man intervene for us. We have to have a man who represents us on behalf to God. What's sad is a lot of us still live our Christian walk in such a way. We rebuild that which Jesus came to fulfill and to complete. You guys ever remember in grade school, I'm sure, or junior high, probably junior high, did you ever pass a note? Do you like me? Check this box. I was so self-conscious, I never put a no. I just said yes. Don't totally reject me. Give me hope. There's a chance. Okay. So the law had faults. And so this entire concept of you have to go through a third person, you'd give this note to somebody else and they would give it to them on your behalf. And then you'd wait because you were too scared to talk to that person yourself. Anybody? I guess I was the only person like that. Yeah, okay. You see, a lot of us, we still kind of have that concept with the Almighty God that we have to go through something. My job is not to go between God and you. That was the Old Testament priesthood. Jesus did away with it. My job is to walk with you. Okay? So the law had faults. The priests had faults. Jesus was perfect and Jesus' ministry is perfect. And this was really in God's plan. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 8 and 9. By this, in other words, that entire concept we were just talking about, if you look at the beginning of chapter 9, it talks about what the priests did, the sacrifices that they made, all of this function of the old covenant. It says, by this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places is not yet open as long as the first section is still standing, which is symbolic for the present age. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper. So he's saying that the law, this system of trying to pass notes to God, that's the analogy that we're going to use. That I have to go to a priest, or I have to go to a minister, or I have to go to a guru, or an author, or a conference speaker, or fill in the blank. That I got to find somebody to somehow go to God on my behalf. That's an incorrect concept. And some of you, well, what about Jesus? Newsflash, Jesus is God. That's what we had to establish from the very beginning. So you say, no, I got you, Pastor, because we have to go through Jesus. Yes, and Jesus is God, so that's why we're connected with Him. Aha! Mic drop. Okay? That's really the case that he's making here. In fact, let me sum it up in this, and let me use the writer of Hebrews in chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. This is what he says. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come. In other words, the law is a shadow of what's really coming. He said, instead of the true form of these realities, the law can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin? But in these sacrifices, there's a reminder of sin every year. For it is, verse 4 is huge, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. They could cover, they could not take away. Okay, this is important. So how is our sin nature dealt with? This is beautiful stuff. In the sacrificial system, there was always, everybody say always, a degree of separation. If the sacrificial system was so great, why was there a veil that would separate us from the presence of God? If the sacrificial system was the end all, that means that God intended us to always live with a degree of separation from Him. Think about it. If that was really the way it was, then why was there even a veil? No, we should have been okay. No! There is a separation because it was only partway. The law only points us to our need for something greater. You see, this degree of separation was the veil. And the other thing is the priest didn't remain in God's presence. Here's the point I'm trying to make. The priest, the high priest, according to the Levitical priesthood, would offer sacrifices and offerings on behalf of the believers, of the worshipers of God. But they would not, in the Day of Atonement was the day that they would actually go into the physical presence of God, the most holy place, where there was the Ark of the Covenant, and in between the middle of the Ark of the Covenant there was what was known as the Shekinah glory of God, the physical, tangible, earthly dwelling presence of God. And the high priest would only go there once a year. If the sacrificial system was so great, why didn't they stay in relationship with God? We just got in. We got out. Kind of sounds like a lot of our spiritual walk. We go in, we go out. For some of us, it's twice a year, Christmas, Easter. We go in, we go out. I got my fix. I got my need. I had my encounter. For some of us, maybe it's, you know what? Life is going bad. And because life is going bad, I need to get to church. And so I have an encounter with God. I want you to know what you're really doing. What you're seeking is an almighty God. And if we live, we're rebuilding that which Christ came to tear down and to not just to throw away, but to fulfill. What happened to actually dwelling? Everybody say dwelling. Dwelling with the almighty God. That's what Christ is all about. Not having random encounters. And for some of us who got a little farther, we have a weekly encounter with God. We go in, we do our thing, we feel better because we've gone to the house of God and connected with God. Now we can get back on with our week. And if we had a bad week and we messed up, then we really think, wow, I really need to go to church. Why? Because somehow that'll take care of it. As if on Monday mornings, I have a phone call from heaven saying, can I check your attendance records? Let's just make sure that we got this credited to their account. I want to tell you, I've never gotten that phone call. And sadly, look, I just want to talk life. Sadly, many quote-unquote Christians, many people who believe in Christ, still operate in that very immature mentality. That's why the writer of Hebrews is beginning to dissect this and break this out. To people who their concept was, I do or I sacrifice. Because you ask the rank and file person, what does it mean to be a Christian? And they're going to give you this canned answer. I follow the Ten Commandments and I basically live by the golden rule. I do unto others before they do unto me. No, I mean, do unto others as they. I would like them to do unto me. That's the way we walk sometimes. We think that. I'm mostly good. I'm mostly a good person. I try to be a good person. And that's what it means to be a Christian. Most people say to be a Christian means I'm a good person. Where that came from, it's quasi-heretical. It is. Because that's the law. That's that sacrificial system. So you're saying, Pastor, it doesn't matter about the Ten Commandments? No, it's got a valid place. It shows us character, heart, integrity, holiness of God. And ultimately, the law pushes us towards Christ. So, there was always a degree of separation, the veil, and they couldn't remain in God's presence. Two big, huge things. So the law could only get partway. Well, let's look at Jesus. Because basically in chapter 9, verses 11 through 15, we see that Jesus sealed the deal for us. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood. Guys, isn't this? This is really life-changing and transforming. It's transformative. He says, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he's the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. A lot of words there. I want you to draw your attention to one particular sentence that should jump off the page that we don't understand. Let me ask this question first and answer it in your mind. What did the blood of Jesus cleanse us from? Before you answer, most people are going to say, cleanse us from sins. And you're not incorrect in saying that. But the writer of Hebrews says something very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. He says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works? It's a little bit different. What does that mean? Look, he dead works. Are we going to say that those dead works are sinful works? Yeah, you could say that. But consider the audience, consider the writer, consider the content of what he's saying. Most of us like to be in the driver's seat of our faith. Most of us really thrive on feeling like we have control to fix ourselves. We have control to keep ourselves okay. And let me say, like, most of us really don't like to be dependent on anything. And I believe, my personal belief, the thrust of what the writer of Hebrews is trying to get us to understand is you have to be dependent 100% on Jesus, because he's totally wiping away the sacrificial system. You can't make enough offerings. You can't take care of that. You were never destined to. God replaced that intermediary with himself. He wants to wipe out the middleman. Our conscience from dead works. Why? So now to serve the living God. And so many people serve God out of guilt. Our entire relationship with God is built on guilt. That's old covenant. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You see, that's a beautiful thing, is we are liberated. We don't have to serve God through guilt. You know what? If I serve somebody through, you can tell me, you know what, you should have done this and make me feel guilty, and I will do something, and my heart might not necessarily be in it. I do it because I feel guilty. Anybody ever do something out of guilt? You'll serve kind of grudgingly out of guilt. You'll serve because you feel like, and I want you to know, by the way, when you serve like that, it's actually selfishness, because what you're trying to do is deliver yourself from the own feeling, from that bad feeling. So if I can do it, then that takes care of it. Or you can serve through love. And love, you'll kill for guilt, but you'll lay down your life for love. You'll do that. See, Jesus is doing something far greater. So Jesus is not only greater than the priesthood, but Jesus is greater than the sacrifice. Why? Because he suffered and he died once for all. There wasn't continual sacrifice. And I want you to know today that that is enough. That is enough. Jesus' sacrifice is more than enough, as a songwriter penned. Jesus was eternal. That's what last week was all about. He was this priest after the order of Melchizedek, who had no beginning, had no end, had no father, had no mother. And so because he's that type of priesthood, he officiates forever, and his sacrifice is eternal. So his sacrifice is more than enough. In other words, it covers your past, your present, and your future. It's all. Everybody say all. All taken care of by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, that's good news. Jesus was eternal, so his sacrifice was eternal. And so our salvation is eternal. It's free, but man, it's costly. It's a free gift that God has given to us, whom He loves by faith. Now, I got a gift a few years ago. It was a pretty cool gift. Someone gave me a gift certificate. Anybody love getting gift certificates? I got a gift card, and it was to a restaurant that I'd never heard of. Somewhere off the beaten path. And it was a pretty hefty gift card. I was really kind of blown away, but it was a long way away. I'd never heard of this restaurant, and quite frankly, it was going to be pretty inconvenient for me to go. So I just did what I put it in the glove box of my car. Yeah. Well, it's a long way to drive. What's this and that? And so I just kind of didn't really pay much attention to it. And then cheapskate that I am, I was cleaning my car out, and I looked and saw it had an expiration date. So guess who decided, wow, it's running out. This offer's running out. I better do something with this. When it's convenient. So I happened to be in Springfield, and Renita and I went to this restaurant, and my heavens, it was so good. It was unbelievable. And it's sad to say that it's because we were up against this deadline that we went ahead and responded to it. But we went to this restaurant, and the prices were really pretty expensive. We would have never just done that on our own. But I was so blown away. And as I left the restaurant, I thought this. Why did I wait so long to experience this? And you know the reason was? Because I didn't know what the gift that was given. I didn't understand what it was really about. I didn't understand the high quality. I didn't understand what an amazing experience it is. And I believe that such are some of us in terms of the life that God has given us. It's a life full of joy, full of peace, full of hope, full of purpose. That's the life that God offers us. And so many of us, just like that, new life has been purchased for us. It's been offered us. And we just kind of dabble on the outsides rather than being fully transformed. I tell you what, why do I remain in my own rut trying to balance out my own life instead of accepting the quality and the purpose that Jesus has for us? You see, we need some, Jesus is something more. And here's what He gives us, constant access to God. And that's a relationship that transcends more religion. And man, guys, that's better than we know. That is good stuff. It's life-changing. So the sacrifice, what the sacrifice offered to us was so much greater. We could stay with God constantly, not just going in and out. He offers us a relationship with Him all the time. His sacrifice was once for all, for eternity. And then we look at what's the response. What's our response? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 28. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. In other words, He paid the price. He gave us this gift certificate, if you will. Okay? Since He gave it by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is His flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, here's what we should do. And let me paraphrase it in my term. Use the coupon. Or gift card. Use it. Why don't we do that? I mean, I could sit here and just, why don't I do that? Why do I sit here and try to fix myself? Why do I sit here and try to balance everything out? Because I'm not comfortable with being fully dependent upon Christ. And if I throw my full confidence upon Him, it transforms my life. You see, too many Christians sit there and say, how can I try to do better works? How can I try to do better things? I'll add stuff to my life. Whereas what Christ offers is transformation from the inside out. What does it look like to be transformed? It looks like this. You will draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure waters. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And verse 24. Let us consider how we may stir up one another to love and to good works. Guys, the law summed up in two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus responded, by this you will know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another. That's a transformation. Larry Burkett, tremendous author. He died recently, and Larry had this speech that I was listening to, and it was a question and answer speech about people dealing with the acquisition of wealth for a purpose. And he said, you know, so many human beings, and I'm going to paraphrase, so many people waste their lives doing things that they're miserable in so that one day they can stop doing anything. So that's not the purpose that Christ has for us. The purpose that Christ has for us is to live a life of purpose each and every day. I love it. They say, what are you going to do when you retire? I'm never going to retire. I'm going to serve God till I go home to be with Him. Period. Whether I get paid for it or not, that doesn't change. I'm here to serve Him. And that's what all of us to different ways. Okay? And so what we have to understand is we have been given access. We have been given access, and we can stir up one another. And that's the expression of our love, is how much we embrace being part of the family of God. And let us not neglect meeting together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. When I used to live in Bloomington, I had a pretty severe back injury that required back surgery. And so I went and did the back surgery, and they said, you're going to have about 6 months of rehabilitation, and part of your rehab, physical therapy, we want you to swim. Swimming will be the best thing that you can do. And I'm cheap, and I said, well, I'm not going to pay for a place to swim. How can I swim? Have I told you I'm cheap? And so I went ahead, and someone told me, hey, have you thought about contacting your alma mater? And I was like, well, I kind of drive by there every now and then. So I called the university, which Illinois Wesleyan University, I did my undergrad at. And they said, oh, well, you're part of the alumni association. You can use the pool for free. And I was like, that's my word. So I went in there, Fort Natatorium, and it was just multi-million-dollar complex with all new Nautilus machines and state-of-the-art this and that. And this pool was fantastic. It's unbelievable. And the thought crossed my mind. I lived on this campus for 4 years and never darkened the door of this place. And now, why did I waste so much time? I could have been using this all the time. You know what? I talk to people who are getting this revelation of the new life Christ offers them, and they're saying the same thing. Why did I waste so much time? You see, church isn't what I thought it was. It's a passionate relationship. It's a life on purpose. It's new and it's exciting each and every day. And that's what God offers us. And now here's the sad and the kind of the scary part. And I've always tried to be true to you that I'm not just going to pick and choose the parts of Scripture that I really like, and that the parts that confront me, I'm going to ignore. So here's how this wraps up. Verse 26, if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Well, we didn't like that part. Could you just stop the message and just be done with it? Because we feel a lot better than you threw that one on. How do you frame this? Here's the deal. Remember my gift card? It had an expiration date. The reason I used it was because the expiration date. I'm so glad I did, because now I found this, like, wow, I'm going to make that one of my favorites. And part of what I do, and now I've done this both part-time and full-time for 25 years of ministry, one of the most important and sacred duties that I do is to spend time with people prior to their death. And this, one of the most intense things. I love it. It's hard, but it's beautiful. And I've grown as a human being. And I've grown as a man. And as a husband and as a father. And as a pastor. Through those conversations. And in 25 years of conversations. And that includes many of your loved ones here in the room today. In 25 years of conversations. I have never once sat down with an individual facing the end of their life, and they said these words. Spent way too much time in church. I spent way too much time working on my relationship with God. I really regret all the time that I spent learning more about my Savior. I really regret having a purpose in my life. I've never had that conversation, but I've lost count of how many times I've spoken with somebody and they said, I wish I would have spent more time. Let me use the analogy. At the swimming pool. I wish I would have gone sooner and used that gift card. I wish I would have experienced this. And so my question to all of us, and I think that it's fair to say what this is framed, is what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? He's paid the price once for all. And I dare say that the experience that we're having with God, there's more to it. Let's go for it. Sandy.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.